Good evening, listeners, and you're very welcome along to another edition of Across the Line here on Tib FM with myself, Paul Carlin, this Friday, 2024. Now, in this week's edition of the show, we're going to be looking ahead to all the sport in Tipperary this weekend, taking a particular focus on Tipperary versus Waterford in the Munster Senior Football Championship quarterfinal. That game's on Sunday at 2 o'clock down in Fraher Field in Dungarvan. We'll be live here on Tib FM with thanks to Casey Tiles and Wooden Floors in Care. We're going to be hearing from Tipperary captain Stephen O'Brien about his injury woes and the season so far, and a little bit about the state and the health of football in County Tipperary. We're also going to be hearing from Tipperary selector Paul Fitzgerald. Then we're going to be hearing the reaction from last night's Munster Minor Championship opener, Tipperary against Cork. And that later in the show on the Sporting Edge, we're going to be speaking to Munster's own and Tipperary's own Diarmaid Barron, of course, the Munster rugby player from New Inn. We're going to be hearing from him. He is the feature on the Sporting Edge. So a nice long chat with Diarmaid Barron about all things about his rugby career. And then, of course, to round off the show, we'll be speaking to Barry Drake, who's given us a rundown on all the weekend's Greyhound racing action. So that's what's coming up across the next hour or so. But as I said, we're going to start with Gaelic football. And I spoke to Stephen O'Brien about this Sunday's match against Waterford in the Munster Senior Football Championship quarterfinal. So let's hear my chat with Stephen O'Brien now.
Stephen, the league is behind us now. It's supposed to have been a disappointing league for Tip this year, but it's probably been a frustrating one as well for yourself personally, missing out through injury and things like that. How have you kind of found the last couple of months?
Yeah, I suppose, look, personally, you're disappointed not to be getting games in. So to pick up a niggle again or an injury is always frustrating. But look, you say a disappointing league. Yeah, we'd be disappointed with a couple of results and performances, but you have to look again at the team that we have, in fairness to them. Like, we're after getting league into probably 10 new players. Like, our starting 15 at the minute consists of probably 7 to 8 lads week in, week out, who are playing their first league campaign. And in fairness to them, they're doing absolutely everything they can. They could do with a couple of us, giving them a dig out, so getting back off the injury list and stuff like that. But no, look, it's, you have to stay positive with things like that. It was always going to be a tough campaign, especially given the turnover and injuries and stuff like that. But no, you'd have to commend the boys who are shouldering the wheel there week on, week out, like, in fairness to them. Yeah,
it's been frustrating, I suppose, in terms of there's been a lot of close games that lads have just come out on the wrong side of, the Laois game and a couple of more, the draws with Longford or with Waterford and London. But there probably is positives in it in terms of, as you mentioned, the young lads getting lots of experience. So probably coming into the Munster Championship, the squad is probably in a bit of a better place than it was before the start of the league.
Of course, yeah. Like you mentioned a couple of fixtures there. Like, so you're drawn there against Waterford and London, 50-50 games. You get a win, the two of those. We're very competitive against Laois in a game which we probably felt we could have won. Missed a penalty and stuff like that, which didn't help. And all of a sudden now you're looking at potentially promotion. So there's very fine margins in Division 4 from what I've learned in my 10 or 11 years of playing in senior and county football. Like, so every game is competitive. There's no gimme game anymore. And look, there's a kick of a ball in between all the teams there now at the minute.
For yourself, obviously this year you're dealing with the hamstring injury. Last year, something similar as well. Is it hard mentally kind of getting yourself back and keeping that motivation in there to get back?
Yeah, look, I suppose if I'm being honest, it's the mental side of things that people don't really appreciate too much, and that is actually the hardest. Constantly trying to motivate yourself, and you're looking at 8 to 10 weeks out of action, and you're kind of saying to yourself, here we go again. And some people always nearly be passing comments that you must love being injured or something. It's far from it. Like, you know, people don't see the work that goes in when you are injured, because when you are injured, you're actually doing twice the work of everyone else, because you are trying to get your injury right first and foremost, but you're keeping an eye on everything else, that you're not too far behind in the fitness side of things, on the football side, and it's just trying to strike a balance between that. So definitely the mental side of it is probably the toughest. Yeah.
And has it been hard for you as captain as well? Because, Joe, maybe if you weren't captain, you're probably just doing all the rehab away and you're keeping yourself away, but you kind of feel maybe as captain you probably have to be there a bit more and things like that as well, to kind of be that leader in the group.
I think, unknown to myself, I always feel that anyway. So I kind of, like, I feel guilty at the minute when you can't be there shouldering the wheel there with the boys. But whether I was captain or not, I'd probably still feel that guilt. Like look, we all take on responsibility, whether it's as captain or not. Mm. So I think whether I was captain or not, I think I'd still probably feel the same, to be honest.
Heading into Munster Championship now, it's Waterford away. It's a fixture that Tip have struggled with at the best of times. So it's going to be a difficult, tough first fixture in the Munster Championship.
Of course it is, yeah. Like you've seen there a couple of weeks ago there in the National League, down in Bantry, draw a game. Like, there's nothing between the sides there now at the minute. So both will be looking at it as an opportunity to get into a Munster semi-final against Clare. And who knows what can happen from there. Mm. But same as Clare are looking at it. So, yeah, in recent years, definitely, we know that it's no gimme going down to Waterford. We'd be going down with our eyes wide open, and we know what sort of battle we're going to get out of them, because the last 2 years, is by the skin of our teeth, we've got over the line, like, you know. So definitely have to have all guns blazing going down to Fraher Field.
And do you think the Munster Championship will kind of bring maybe a... kind of like a new lease of life, that the fact, right, the league is behind us now, we can park that there, and there's a new competition, and it might kind of bring a little bit of freshness and a bit of a reset, does it?
It does. Look, I suppose a reset is a nice way of putting it, to be honest. Look, you start out, you set your saw at the start of the year, and you want to get after the National Football League and stuff like that. Mm. But at the end of the day, I suppose, if you look back in the year, if you can get a run in Championship versus run the league, you're going to take the running championship every day of the week. Like, so if Tip were lucky enough to get a win against Waterford, and imagine you got a win against Clare and you're in the Munster final, nobody would be looking back at results from February or March. So that has to be a motivating factor in itself, but no more so is the same motivating factor for both Waterford and Clare as well. So three teams are looking at the same opportunity there.
Yeah, massive opportunity. But if we look at football and Tip as a whole, and there's probably maybe no one better than yourself to speak about this, like, I'm from Burgess, North Tip, you're from Ballinan, North Tip, not an awful lot of football up our end of the county, and it's a big county. It feels like there's nearly kind of untapped potential around the county. Like, what can, like, Ballinan have done a great job, like, you see Charlie King now is under 20 captain and things like that, that once you kind of can get the thing rolling, it can snowball fairly quickly. What would you kind of, how can we kind of spread it to spread football north in the county? It's something that the county has struggled with for a long time.
Yeah, so, like, really, I think you hit the nail on the head when you're saying untapped potential. So, like, there's plenty of good footballers that I've seen from underage the whole way up along, even going watching matches, that are in North Tipperary. I suppose, what's the solution? You probably have to look at the clubs. Like, clubs have a number of players there who have the potential to wear the Tipperary jersey and play football, and maybe, look, personally, I probably feel they're not giving them that opportunity. I think clubs really need to take a look at themselves and make an effort with football, because at the minute, between clubs and North boards and stuff like that, I don't see that effort being put into football, which is fiercely disappointing and something I'd be passionate about. Like, and look, no more so than my own club. You look back 4 or 5 years ago, we probably didn't have a football team in the club, but we knew that there was enough footballers in Ballinan to kind of get the show on the road. And look, we got good lads in around in terms of management and stuff like that to really spearhead football in the club. And you just look at, we went from junior to intermediate, now a senior football team in the space of 3 or 4 years, which is massive. Like, so I don't see how the likes of a Burgess or Portrow or Nina or Newport or Killawan McDonald's couldn't do something similar. And look, it's about your club is your community at the end of the day. Like, if you have people in the community looking to play football, I think we owe them the opportunity to be able to play. And look, anytime you're winning, it doesn't matter for us whether it's hurling or football. Brings great camaraderie to the group and to the community as a whole. So, look, I'd be encouraging clubs to really give everyone the opportunity to play football. And look, it's a snowball effect then, and a win is a win at the end of the day.
Great chatting to Tipperary senior football captain Stephen O'Brien there, looking ahead to the game on Sunday. Just before we take our first ad break, just a well done going out to all involved with the Tipperary minor football team. They got their championship up and running there on Tuesday night with a big win in Feathertown Park in front of a really good crowd. They had a nice win over Limerick there, so fair play to all involved there. And hopefully that's just the start of more and more brilliant performances and bigger things to come for that team as the year progresses. So fair play to all involved there. As I said, we're going to take our first ad break now, but we will be continuing our look ahead to Sunday's game after these. And you're very welcome back to part two of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carlin, this Friday, the 5th of April, 2024. Now, as I said before the break, we're going to continue our look ahead to Sunday's game between Tipperary and Waterford in the Munster Senior Football Championship quarterfinal. And I spoke to Tipperary selector Paul Fitzgerald ahead of the game. So let's hear my chat with Paul Fitzgerald now.
Yeah, it's a new competition, as I said, and really looking forward to that game, as are all the players. Never anything between Tip and Waterford. You know, a lot of the players would know each other, pretty close proximity with South Tip and the Waterford guys. So, you know, when the draws came out, you know, they were really happy to get us, as we were happy to get them. But that means a 50-50 game. We have to go to Fairfield, and it definitely won't be easy. And Waterford really impressed me that day in Bancha. You know, they showed a lot of pace, a lot of fitness. You know, eight different scorers, shot some amazing scores that day. And you know, we will have to be at our best, like, and to have any chance of progressing to the semi-final. Like.
Yeah, that day in particular was kind of like they couldn't miss in the first half. They were shooting from all angles. But last year as well, a couple of kind of Cody Fian got a late goal to get over the line and won the games. So it's always been close between the teams. But reflecting back on the league, obviously a disappointing league campaign, but you're kind of mentioning when we were talking about the league that there's lots of young lads coming through and things like that. So what kind of positives has our management kind of taken from the league campaign?
Yeah, like I said, like there's 16 new guys into the squad from last year. Obviously, we've lost a few leaders from last year's panel with Kevin Fahey and Colin McKennedy and Michael O'Reilly and those guys, you know. So, but the new guys that have come in have been fresh. They're mad to learn. They're mad for road, and they've been really, really positive. Obviously, you know, the schedule of the league and the grueling schedule of it means we've picked up knocks and injuries along the way. Hopefully, we get a few of those guys back soon. Because you need that little bit of leadership with so many new guys on the panel, but in general it's been really positive, and you know they're putting in massive commitment as all intercounty players are these days, and it's a 7-day week job now for being an intercounty footballer, and you know they're all looking forward to that. You know, the bright evens are coming in, the pitches are getting better, the weather has been terrible over the last few weeks and months, so that little bit of freshness will help things too. You'll always see a different pep in their step coming into this time of the year. So
yeah, 100%. And it's a steep learning curve for a lot of new lads coming in who've never played intercounty football before and straight into a very busy league campaign. What do you think, like, the kind of team maybe has learned from those games, those tight games where, you know, came out on the right side of it against Longford, but then other games like the Laois game kind of just got away at the very end? What do you think the kind of, especially the younger lads on the team, can kind of learn from those experiences?
Yeah, like, I mean, there's been really, really competitive games apart from the Wexford game. You know, kicking the ball between any team in Division 4 really at the end of the day, and you know you learn from, you know, obviously players make mistakes, management make mistakes along the way, and the nature of a game of football, like that battle around the middle third and turnovers, like, is what decides it, and you need to take all your chances and don't be naive at the back, and continue to learn from that and be as ruthless as you can when the time comes to be ruthless, and then be focused and compact enough at the back to close out games when we are ahead. You know, so that's a general thing that they've learned, I suppose, over the league, and they will continue to learn over the next few months and hopefully the next couple of years.
In the last maybe nearly decade, I suppose, with Tip football, Conor Sweeney, Michael Quinlivan, these lads have been leading the way in terms of scoring, and Quinlivan is gone, Conor Sweeney has been injured, but Seanie O'Connor has really kind of stepped forward this year in particular. It must be kind of encouraging for the management and everyone that, you know, there is a player of that calibre who's kind of able to carry a bit of a scoring load, and he's had a brilliant year so far.
Yeah, Sean's had a really positive league. He's hit a lot of scores and has played really well in every game, and finished the club championship strong with Commercials, I thought. Had got injured earlier on in the club championship. It probably done him the world of good, to be honest. It freshened him up a bit. We got time to just refocus and reset, and he hit the ground running this year. But like, it's up to other guys. You can't be putting it all on Sean. You know, he's still a young guy, only 22 or 23 years of age. So to put that, needs other guys chipping in with scores too, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to play an attacking style of football, which means, you know, you need more than one marquee forward, because it's too easy close the team down if you were only to mark one. But Sean's been really positive, yeah.
You mentioned how missing out on some experience throughout the league, and Mark Russell and a few more lads who've been injured, Stephen O'Brien and Connor Sweeney. Mark came back in the Wexford game. Stephen, Connor, how long are they going to be out for, or when do you expect them back?
Mark is back in full training, yeah, so he's working on his fitness and getting there, so that's positive having him back. Stephen then is just continuing to rehab. It's again, Stephen and Connor are similar, we just take it week by week. Connor's back training, working really, really hard. It's been tough for him, you know, because it's a very lonely place with that injury, and certainly at the time of year last year when it happened, to start that recovery journey on your own wasn't easy for him. But he's worked savage hard as he does on every aspect of his game. But that's really, you know, we have to be fair to Connor, and Connor has to mind himself too to be just not push it. He's come this far. We just listened to the medical team, and the right time to get him back into real competitive games will have to be the right time for him. You know, it's not about whether we have to play him or we need to play him. It'll have to be the right thing for him and his body. But hopefully that time will come soon. We just monitor week by week.
Finally, just generally on tip football, how do you think the health of the sport is in the county at the minute? We've seen kind of teams pull out of senior championships and things like that, which is never what you want to see. And our senior team is in Division 4 at the moment. But you think, is there anything you'd like to see done that maybe is not being done? Or do you think it's kind of going in the right direction and eventually we'll get there? Or what way do you kind of see the kind of health of the sport in general in the county?
Yeah, look, it obviously is, nobody wants to be trying to promote football when you're in Division 4, and it's not easy to do that. But you know, it starts with, like, if you think back to our golden generation that we know from, that was built on that minor winning team, and team that were lost the under 21 Ireland to Tyrone in 2015, and when those all guys came through to senior level, you know, it was important to keep the development squads going and keep that work going at underage. That's hugely important. And I think, you know, we may have taken our eye off the ball for a while because of the success of that generation. So, and it doesn't mean one particular team has to come through. I think you need every single year to keep driving the thing and keep focused on how to develop it from the bottom up, you know. It's not easy, no point in saying otherwise, but I think, we've got a good under-20 squad there this season. Minor team look good, good last year too, and good competitive team. So, you know, you need that flow of talent, you know, and even if you're only getting three or four every year off it, to try and build and try and develop them, and getting them playing, getting them into that senior squad, that's what you want. At club level then, I think, in time, when the championships balance out and people get used to it, I think it's a good format. You know, you've less teams in each grade, but you have more competitive games. What will happen this year, I don't know, with Drum now pulling out of the championship, that remains to be seen. But in general, over the next year or two, I think things will balance out. People, like I said, you'll get used to it. And you continue to drive it from there as well, because more competitive club championships will hopefully lead to better players and better competitiveness in inter-county level.
Good chat there with Paul Fitzgerald, looking ahead to that game Sunday, 2:00 in versus Waterford. We'll be live here on Tip FM. Myself and Anthony Shelley bring you live commentary, with thanks to Casey Tiles and Wooden Floors in Care. Now, it's a big weekend of sport for many a reason, and no more bigger than Cashel, who are in the AIL looking for that second place. Niamh Ormond secured first place last weekend, but the regular season comes to an end on Saturday. Cashel sit in second place, and they welcome fourth-placed Banbridge to Spafield, so a win there would secure Cashel a home playoff semi-final. So we wish them all the very best of luck. Niamh Ormond are away to UL Bohemian, and it's the UL Bohemian team who are looking for results to avoid a relegation battle, so they have a lot to play for there. And then in Division 2C, Clonmel round off their Division 2C campaign this year. They're safe from relegation, but they can't reach the playoff spot, but they're away to Bruff. All three of those games on Saturday at 2:30. We wish them the very best of luck. Also, very best of luck going out to the Tipperary Minor Camogie team. They look to continue their unbeaten streak in the All-Ireland Championship in the group stages. They are at home in the Rag on Sunday at 2:00. against Cork. That's at 2 p.m. Tip already into an All-Ireland semi-final, but we'll be looking to build up to that and keep this winning streak alive. So we wish them all the very best of luck. But now it's time for our second ad break of the evening. But stick around, because we'll be speaking to Munster rugby player Diarmaid Barron after these. And you're very welcome back to the third and final part of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carroll, this Friday, the 5th of April, 2024. Now, at this time, every Friday evening, we speak to a different Tipperary sports person about their journey through their respective sport and what's to come in a feature called The Sporting Edge. And I'm delighted to say this week's edition of the show features Munster rugby player and New Inn native Diarmaid Barron, who's the feature on this week's Sporting Edge.
The Sporting Edge on Tip FM. Funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee. Tipperary's Tip
FM. So I'm delighted to say joining me now is Munster and Tipperary's own Diarmaid Barron. Diarmaid, great to have you on. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for it's great to be on.
Yeah, no, we're going to have a chat a bit about your career to date so far. But I suppose before we kind of go back to the start, at the minute you're on the injury list. You had foot surgery. Just tell us a little bit about the injury and kind of where you're at now.
You're right. I got injured against Leinster on Stephen's Day, and so basically I damaged ligaments in my foot and ended up having to go for surgery. And it's coming along nicely at the moment, but I'll be a bit longer yet. It's an awkward one, unfortunately, so it'll be a bit longer, but on the right track.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's a kind of a frustrating time, I suppose, especially kind of given where you kind of were at the time and captaining the team in recent months and things like that before the injury. So it's probably come at a very frustrating time for you.
Yeah, I suppose it is. There's never really a good time to be injured, but if there was one time for me, I suppose, where it was the worst, is probably now. But look, I've been very lucky over the last couple of years. I've managed to stay pretty injury-free, nothing major anyway. So, look, I suppose we all get our injuries, and just it was my time to now, unfortunately.
And is it a intensive rehab kind of program you're on, or how are you managing that?
Pretty intensive, I suppose. It's the in most days of the week anyway to keep going away at it and gymming and trying to keep some bit of fitness up and. In team meetings and things, so it's good to stay involved anyway and around the lads, and it does a lot of good for my head anyway.
Yeah. Well, we'll check back in on that in a few moments' time about what's to come, I suppose, for Munster in a big game this Sunday, of course. But for yourself, your kind of rugby life. Tell us a bit how you kind of first got into rugby. I know you were down in Rockwell College, but your kind of first introduction into the sport.
Yeah. So from very close to Rockwell, just down the road really, and the local club was Cashel, and my brother was in there playing. He's a few years older than me, and I suppose I just followed him in there and tried to play with him and fell in love with the game ever since really. After Cashel then went into Rockwell, played in Rockwell for 6 years and loved every minute of it, and then after Rockwell down to UCC for a short spell, and then on to Gary Owen, where I really earned my stripes in terms of going into men's rugby, and then after that into the Munster Academy and the Irish age grade teams.
So would you, when you were in Rockwell, you had a successful time, I believe, was it the 2015 Munster Senior Cup success there. Were you in any of the Munster kind of development squads at that time, or was it just the Academy where you got your first start?
So in 2015, I would have been... I wouldn't have been involved in any squad yet, I don't think. And it was great. We had a successful year, and as a result of that, probably it gave me a boost to get into kind of a development squad that summer. And throughout the summer then, got to learn a load, and was lucky enough the next year then to be involved with Munster 18s and then the 19s. And then on from that, from Irish underage teams and then into the academy after that.
Yeah, no, it's been a great progression. And when you were in Rockwell, was Dennis Leamy, was he still there at that stage?
He was, yeah. Dennis was there, and his brother Kevin and Mark Butler, all lads that I would have worked with for quite a few years and learned a lot off. And it's great to be working with Dennis again now.
Yeah, I'm sure it's nice to have that bit of familiarity there. But in with the Munster Academy then, you made your debut fairly young. I think you're only 19 at the time. Do you remember that game against Cardiff, your kind of feelings around that back in, I believe it was in 2018?
Yeah, it was a lot of nerves. Cardiff had a very strong team at the time, with a lot of household names. And look, we were on the wrong end of a bit of a drumming that day. I only came on for 5 minutes, but it was a huge thing for me and my family, and something I was very proud of at the time.
Yeah, and it's been a quite a journey since then, I suppose. In the last couple of years, you've very much established yourself into the Munster starting team and all the way up to captain, which we'll get to. But just those kind of first few years in with Munster, what's that like what's that like kind of mentally, I suppose? And it's a big step up, as you said, into men's rugby when you're with Gary Owen, but I'd imagine it's even bigger step up when you're going into the professional ranks in with Munster.
Yeah, it is. It's a big step up, right? The intensity is something of that kind of I would have been taken a bit aback by. You know, you're in there. It's pretty much 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, really. You're in there all day, and between meetings and gyms and training sessions, it's a full day of work and hard work as well. But it's very enjoyable at the same time. And then, whilst being in the academy, and we were pretty much with the seniors most of the time training, we learned a lot, and being able to then split and go play for your AL club at the weekend was great as well, because we wouldn't have got that game time for quite a few years just waiting to play for Munster. So it was brilliant to play with a club like Gary Owen and learn a hell of a lot against some very talented players.
Yeah, it's a good system in with Munster to develop the younger lads, having them playing with the AIL teams, as you mentioned there. But when you're going in then as a professional player, like, was that, at what point do you think that kind of became a goal in your head that you'd love to go on and become a professional rugby player?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I suppose watching Munster teams when you were younger in 06 and 08 and watching them win things was always a goal, to win something with them yourself. And I suppose as a kid, you think you can, and you don't realise how hard it's going to be. And I suppose a lot of people think that they're going to play for Munster or respectively in GA, play for Tipperary or whatnot. So there was a bit of a pipe dream there, but it was nothing more than that. But then I suppose as I grew up a bit around 16, 17 and getting into development squads, I got a bit of a taste for it and wanted more and more ever since.
Yeah, and it just kind of naturally progresses from there. And like you mentioned there, watching Munster win and things like that when you were younger, and Munster kind of went on a bit of a drought in recent years up until last year and that URC win down in South Africa. Tell us a bit about that. You started that game, you scored a try in that game. It just looked like it was such a great occasion for Munster, but I'm sure being a part of it was just something special.
Yeah, it definitely was. We'd spent quite a bit of time down in South Africa the kind of in the month build up to that. It was our third trip down there in 6 weeks, I think, and it's quite the spin, and we were tired in ways, and in other ways we felt like we could play a match every week for the weeks after, because we were in such good spirits, and we got very close over that time, travelling together and staying together, and it really told in the way we performed, and we got our groove, and it was a very special, I suppose, day to be involved in, something I probably won't grasp for quite a while to come yet, to be honest. But to have my mum down there and sister and my auntie and some family friends was very special too, and the amount of Munster support down there was crazy. I was meeting people that were going down to Cape Town for the weekend, which is a 16-hour flight off the flight for a few hours and then back again, which I thought was crazy, but in a great way. And the support was incredible.
Yeah, it was unreal. And there was planes being chartered from Shannon and everything, bringing supporters down. I remember at the time it looked unreal to be down there. And like winning that, and even just seeing the celebrations after, I believe you were able to bring the URC trophy to Cashel Rugby Club and things like that. So it's just a brilliant occasion. But that must have been a special moment as well, heading back to your old club with a trophy like that.
Yeah, it was. It was great. And to be able to bring it over to New Inn then and back to Rocker Rovers as well, to GA club I grew up playing in, and then on to Castlewood, it was very special. And like I said, I suppose I probably won't realise the magnitude of it for a while yet, but look, it was very special to see people coming out to see it and smiles on faces, because like you said, there was quite a drought there and a lot of people had followed Munster for quite a few years without any success. And I feel like we owed something to the fans and all the travelling support and everyone who's stayed with us along the journey.
Yeah, and even some of the players that had played for Munster for so long without winning anything with Munster, let's say the likes of Peter Mahoney and co. So it was just made it such a brilliant occasion. But since then, after that summer, then you signed a new contract with Munster. You became Munster captain for some of the games just before you got injured. So, like, it's been a steep kind of incline in progression in your career from when you first came in with Munster to suddenly becoming captain. How did that kind of come about with Graham Rowntree, the coach, and did he come and approach you? What was your first kind of impressions when he kind of mentioned that you're going to be captain?
How it came about, I can't really remember. I think there might have been an injury two during the week as well. To Lazdek that might have been captain. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But he essentially called me on the Friday and I went in and had a bit of a chat with him, and he just said, "Look, you're going to be captain this weekend." And my heart sank a bit with nerves, but with excitement as well. And it was a very special. Very special moment for me. To be honest, it was a day I definitely won't forget, even though I ended up getting a bang in the head during it, but I definitely won't be forgetting that one. And very special. I rang my parents straight away and they were delighted too, and I know it means a lot to quite a few people around me, so it definitely wasn't lost on me.
Yeah, and like it must be just amazing just walking out. And I think was that game on in the Aviva against Leinster as well in one of the games that you captained, and like, you know, that is just kind of the pinnacle of playing with Munster, leading a team out like that. You know, those are, I'd imagine the kind of hairs might have been standing on the back of your neck really kind of when you're in the dressing room walking out to a kind of packed out stadium like that.
Yeah, it was actually a game as well that Stephen Archer beat the record for Munster appearances, so it was a big day for him as well, and very lucky to have played a part in that. You know, what a servant to Munster, and he's a guy that I've become very close with, and it was class to do that. It kind of that took it a bit off my mind as well, which is great, because he was achieving something so great. It was nice to think about him more so than having to worry about captain the team that day.
Yeah, 100%. And like, since then, we've mentioned you had the foot injury. You're kind of rehabbing that at the minute and on the mend. But like, going back to the URC win and things like that, we mentioned like some of the older players in there, how good it was for them. But there's a kind of a cohort there of lots of youth coming through and younger players coming through at Munster at the minute. So kind of getting those lads success as well is just as important. But even looking at your own school and Rockwell College, and Brian Gleeson has just signed a new contract with Munster this week. You know, Brian is someone who seems to have really kind of burst on the scene in the last couple of years, and his first debut season, he's also injured here at the minute, but probably nice to have a few kind of local lads in there with you as well.
Yeah, it is great. You know, when Ben Healy left during the summer, I was the last Tipperary player in the squad, and it felt a bit lonely, right, to think of that. But it was Brian coming in he's been fantastic. He's a very talented athlete and a huge man, and I'm sure he has a massive future ahead of him. So it's very exciting to have players like that coming through and knowing that Munster are going to be in a good place for quite a while to come with guys like that coming through as well.
Yeah, and there's I don't know what they're feeding some of the Munster Academy players, even the likes of Edwin Adogbo, who's also signed on. There's some absolute units of lads in there. So I'm sure training and things like that doesn't get any easier with just the kind of mass of lads in there at the minute.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't. I suppose when you're training with the likes of Edwin and Brian and so on, to name a couple, you got to be switched on at all times because you're going to get smashed otherwise. And you know, just the physics of the mass gliding, you're never really winning those collisions, so you have to figure out ways of trying to get around them. And yeah, look, we're very, very lucky to have players like that. I think that in Munster at the moment, we've some of the most talented players, some of the most talented young players anyway, around the country, the likes of Tom Aaron as well and John Hodden and stuff. And also that even younger cohort of Brian and Edwin, they've been fantastic when they've played. So we're very, very lucky to have them.
Yeah, and long may that continue. This weekend, of course, a massive game, Champions Cup knockout away to Northampton Saints. You've mentioned you're in around team meetings and things like that. How are the lads facing? And I suppose how are the lads fixed for the game? And like, it must be kind of a disappointing one for yourself, kind of having to be watching on the sidelines for when these big games come around.
Yeah, the lads they're going very well. I think they had a tough challenge last weekend against a good Cardiff side. Cardiff really came to play and made life very difficult for us. But we know where we went wrong as well at times during the weekend. And the lads are gunning for us. You know, it's a big knockout game in Europe away from home, and probably a lot of people riding Munster off, which usually creates a bit of a reaction. And you know, it's very exciting for the lads. And like you said, the big games are the ones you want to be a part of. But for now, my role is different, and it's to try to help anyone I can to prepare for them, even if it's a short conversation or anything, to feel a part of it. But I've no doubt the lads have put in a big performance, and whatever happens after that happens. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it anyway. It should be a great game.
Yeah, and hopefully it won't be the last Champions Cup game for Munster for this season anyway. But just before we finish up, once you kind of get back out onto the field and recovered from this injury, what are you kind of aiming for? What are your kind of goals going forward? Because, you know, as I mentioned, your career has been kind of shooting upwards in projection in the last couple of years. So, you know, things like Ireland cap and things like that they're surely maybe on your radar.
Yeah, I suppose when an injury like this happens, your goals have to shift a bit, and they become very short-term goals. In first of all, getting back and making sure you're right and in a better place than you were when you got injured, because it's important to improve yourself while you're not playing games. I think it's a great opportunity to get better at certain things that you weren't so good at. And I'll definitely work on that. But after that, when I'm back, it's trying to get back into a Munster team. But like, the lads have been playing very well. Niles been playing very well. And Owen Clark and Scott, they've all been doing well for Munster as of recent times. And there's a tough enough challenge to get into that team first. So in order to try to get towards an Ireland squad, I definitely have to get into the Munster team first. And I'm very, very aware of that. And I won't be looking too far into the future because I have to get back playing first, like you said.
Well, we will definitely wish you the very best of luck, and very best of luck with the rehab first, as you said. Get back out onto the field first, and we look forward to seeing you back in our Munster jersey as soon as possible. So, Dermot Barron, thanks a million for joining us on Across the Line, and the very best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Paul.
The Sporting Edge on Tip FM, funded by Commission Naman, with the television licence fee. Tipperary's Tip
FM. Great chatting there with Munster and Tipperary's own Dermot Barron, and we, as I said, wish to see him back on the field as soon as possible, and wish all at Munster the very best of luck. That game against Northampton Saints in the round of 16 is at 12:30 on Sunday afternoon. But now, as always, on a Friday evening, it's time to talk dogs with Barry Drake.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
It's another massive weekend in the world of greyhound racing, where all eyes will be on the final of the 2024 Bresbet Easter Cup at Shelburne Park on Saturday night. The event itself has delivered some spectacular performances over the course of the last couple of weeks, and we've six top-class trackers in the final, of course. It's an event that's been won by superstars in the past, of course, just looking back on previous years. There was a win for Susie Sapphire trained in New Inn in County Tipperary by Owen McKenna, and last year Swords Rex was crowned champion for Golden Base trainer Graham Holland. As I said, six terrific finalists, 8.57 on Saturday night, with €25,000 going to the lucky winner. Clona Duke has become a household name in the world of greyhound racing over the course of the last couple of years, and he'll start as the short price favourite for Golden Base trainer Graham Holland. He set the standard in the semi-finals when winning in 29.53, and he's beautifully drawn in trap number two, so we can expect another stunning performance, and he's very much the one they all have to beat. Elsewhere in the lineup, Pat Buckley and Kappa White has a really strong hand in the world of greyhound racing at the moment. He's got so many amazing trackers in his care, and he's represented with Glengar Marta, who was also a semi-final winner in 29.71 last week, and she should go well from trap number five. Graham Holland is the trainer that's doubly represented in the final. He's got Clonbrine Treaty running from trap number six, and that could also be in the mix. Elsewhere, switching our attentions to Clonmel on Friday night, they have their usual racing programme, Down for Decision, all getting underway at the Clonmel Greyhound Stadium at 7.30. Some good action to look forward to over the course of the night. You have the Spring ON2, ON3 stake final, and this can go the way of trap number two, Cuiva's Dream, who was such an impressive winner when winning last time, and that should take plenty of stopping there in that feature semi-final, I should say. The second semi-final is another really good lineup here, and trap number six is one of the leading fancies here, Golden Bullet, this one for Moray Dial, and that should be in the mix. Also keep an eye on trap number one, Springwood Fred, who should go well for Dennis McCarthy. Switching our attentions to action in Clonmel on Sunday night, some really good action to look forward to there. It really is competitive racing though in Clonmel on Sunday night, and their usual start time there gets underway at 6.29. Just one race in particular that's worth keeping a close eye on on Sunday night, of course, is one of the feature races. It's the AOA1 525, and a couple of really classy sorts in option here. Trap number five, Tullivan Bale, is probably the one they all have to beat here for Michael Ryan in Croom. Wasn't that his best last time, but we can expect a much better performance here. The likes of Vero Dove and Inishkeen Penny are others that could be in the mix. Back to the racing action on Saturday night, we're going to Turles, and they've got some good action Down for Decision at the Turles Greyhound Stadium. As usual, racing action will get underway there in Turles at 7.35. They have the Morris Ryan ON2 on race day getting underway, which is sure to produce some nice sorts in the coming weeks and coming months. Elsewhere on the card, they have the Simon's Bar Clonalty A2 semi-finals Down for Decision with €2,150 to the winner. Two very good semi-finals there. Splendid Fellow will be expected to make a bold bid from the front in the opening semi-final for local trainer Porgy Campion. In the second semi-final, another really good affair here with the likes of Cabra Costas, who was an impressive winner last time when winning in 28.99, and that certainly should go very well for Paddy Scally. Elsewhere in the world of greyhound racing, all eyes switch to Curraheen Park on Saturday night for the semi-finals of the Greyhound and Petworld Super Sprint with €5,000 to the winner. Also this week, of course, Jerseys at the Dogs returns this weekend. Loads of tracks participating in that, of course. It's second year in continued support with the Dylan Quirk Foundation. And all fans are invited to wear their sports jerseys of choice and contribute to this fantastic cause. Another busy weekend of greyhound racing with so much to look forward to, not just in Tipperary, but all the big Tipperary interest nationwide. And we look forward to reflecting on some of the really big races from this weekend, next weekend. And of course, we look forward to previewing another weekend of top-class greyhound racing action.
Many thanks, as always, to Barry Drake there for giving us a comprehensive rundown on all things greyhound racing, both here in Tipperary and further afield. That's pretty much all we've got time for this week's edition of the show. A reminder that on Sunday at 2 p.m, we'll have a live commentary here of Tipperary versus Waterford in the Munster Senior Football Championship quarterfinal. That's down in Fryer Field, and live commentary will come from myself and Anthony Shelley, with thanks to Casey Tiles and Wooden Floors in Care. If you want to listen back to any of the show, we spoke to Tipperary football captain Stephen O'Brien and selector Paul Fitzgerald. We also spoke to Dermot Barron, the Munster rugby player there on the Sporting Edge, and you heard from Barry Drake there on the weekend's Greyhound Racing update. So if you're just tuning in and want to listen back to any of that, it will be on the Tip FM SoundCloud and the Tip FM website in the next half an hour. And yeah, that's pretty much all we got time for. Carol Power is coming up after the news. So until Sunday, when I'll be on commentary duty down in Fryer Field, it's bye for now.